you would turn to Philippians chapter 2. Again, we're not starting another study, another long study tonight. This is just a one-time sermon. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4. Paul writing to the church in Philippi. He says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." The title of this, I guess you could say, is "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's a used to be a popular saying, not so much anymore. This is a much forgotten teaching in our world today. We've seen over the past few generations people getting further and further away from this much wise teaching. Our society has become so selfish in its everyday doings that one can no longer recognize one nation under God. And just look around us how selfish people are. Maybe even ourselves, if we stop and examine ourselves, well, how much more selfish are we acting than even our, maybe even our parents or forefathers? There are things that we do in our day-to-day life that were just a few generations ago was unheard of, for especially for God's people in this nation and anywhere in the world, actually, if you want to get down to it. But Paul, he says, "Look not every man on his own things." Don't worry about your own stuff. Now that doesn't mean that we don't take care of ourselves. Certainly we should be presentable whether we go to work or we go to the doctor's office or to the store. One of the things, you go to the store now and people are in their pajamas. That's been going on for quite a while, actually. It's not something new. There was a funny little video a few years ago about the people of Walmart. Walmart seems to get picked on. But maybe it's because that's where we go now. You know, the little locally owned stores are mostly gone. Not all, but most of them. But people have become slouchy and lazy. But he says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We need to pay attention to other people, our neighbors, our family, our friends, maybe people we don't even know. I think we all can relate to, you know, we see the homeless people on the street begging for money, and I caution anybody about that. I know sometimes it seems as though the Lord leads us to give them some change, or maybe we got a package of cookies in the car or crackers or something and we want to give it to them. Certainly nothing wrong with that, but be careful, especially if you're seeing the same person out there day after day after day after day, year after year after year. And that's the way it is in a lot of places. Try giving them a gospel tract and see how they treat you. I've known people that have done that. I've not tried that myself, but I have known people who have, and they don't get such a warm welcome out of that, usually. But we should be concerned with others. It says, "Do unto others as we would have them do unto you." How we treat others should be how we want to be treated ourselves. Do you want to be treated bad? Well, if you treat somebody badly, you're probably going to get that right back from them. Not always, but sometimes you will. And it should be expected. We look at the things going on in our country today and around the world and how people treat each other. There's no respect anymore for others, for the, you know, we have a place to come when to preach and to teach God's word, the things that offend those out in the world, especially. And some say, well, you shouldn't be putting it out there for others to hear, but the whole purpose is in that is that they will hear the gospel and the Lord will save them. That's a totally different matter. People say, well, your preaching offends me. Well, you got two choices. One, you don't have to listen. And two, maybe you should listen. And listen intently, because if it's offended you, it was for you. It's been over 60 years now since the Supreme Court officially demanded the removal of the Bible from the classrooms of our public schools. That's been a long time. That's before my time. I can remember people, my parents' generation, talking about that they were some of the last ones to see a Bible in the classroom, legally anyway. I had teachers, I went to a small school, and we had teachers who kept a Bible on their desk or kept it in the, some of the teachers had a mini library in the classroom, and they would have a Bible in there for the kids to read if they wanted. But as we got older and got into higher grades, that all seemed to go away for the most part. Now look around us and we see what that's gotten us. That's what's happened. They've taken anything godly out of the schools, and it started with the Bible being taken out of the classrooms, out of the schools, and it began by that. Teachers were forbidden to teach biblical principles. Well, how do you teach the history of our nation without teaching biblical principles? You can't. It's impossible. Most of the Western world, you can't preach that nation's history without biblical principles. Without God's godly principles being taught to the youth of a nation, eventually that nation will collapse. And that's happened many times throughout history. This is what we're seeing today. We're currently witnessing open rebellion against God and anything or anyone having godly values like we have never seen. You look at all the, what they call the woke crowd that's out there today, and all the things that they stand for or don't stand for. I don't know which it is. I don't think they know which it is. It's just amazing that we have a whole group of people that don't know who they are or what they are, or where they're supposed to be, or what they should be doing, other than they know that they are, they think they know that they have the right to do whatever they please, whether it offends anyone else or not, just don't offend them. Well, I saw a man being interviewed the other day by a news reporter. She was from one of the major networks. I can't remember which one, NBC or CBS or something like that. Yeah. And he was talking about his stand on, or she asked him about his stand on abortion. And he said that, or she said that asked him if it even bothered him that it was offensive to her. And he threw it back on her. He said, well, have you ever thought that what you're trying to force on me is offensive to me? And she sat there and thought about it. And she actually sat there and thought about it. And she's like, I never thought about it that way. I don't know what to say now. It threw her off her whole interview. She couldn't ask any more questions because she realized that her being offensive was being offensive to somebody else or causing somebody else to be offensive. And she didn't know how to react. Well, there was a day and time where, I don't want to say we didn't care, but as far as biblical principles go, we shouldn't care what the public thinks. And that's the way it was for a long time in this country. As far as biblical principles went, you either went along with it or you were in the wrong, whichever you wanted. But it seems as each generation comes along, the more ungodly they are. And the generation that's out there now, and it's not just, generation, it's not just the young folks today. There are some good young folks in this generation. We see them go to some of the other churches we fellowship with, and you see them. There's churches we fellowship with, there's conferences we go to, other pastors and their families, and not just pastors, it's other church members. We see their children, and they seem to be very godly people, unlike the ones in their generation or out there in the world. But there's older folks. I mean, I'm talking people who are in their 70s and 80s who are following right along with this wokeness, if you want to call it that. Look at our politicians. Most of them are older, are they not? I mean, there's not many of them that are of the generation that's coming up now, but they're pushing for it because they want votes. They know, they see that if they go along with it, that in a few years, it's going to be that generation that's going to get them reelected. Also, the fact that they are just so morally corrupt, they don't care. They don't care who it affects. It appears some of God's own children are following along with much of this. Look around us again, and you look at, I don't know about everybody that's in Landmark Sovereign Grace Baptist churches. I can't think of somebody that I know that is following these things, but there certainly are people out there who claim to be God's children in other denominations, other religious orders. And again, we can't question whether they're saved or not. It appears they are, but they follow right along with some of this. You know, we thought it was bad when women wanted to be ordained to be pastors. It's gone way past that now, hasn't it? You've got sodomites. You've got those who are worse than sodomites that are being ordained or so-called ordained to the ministry and claiming to be God's chosen speaker for a congregation. Yet it goes against everything God talks about in His Word. And people follow right along with it. Some of those have very large congregations. There are conventions and associations and fellowships that follow right along with all that teaching. Over 60 years ago, God's people stood by silently as our Supreme Court enacted an unconstitutional law which would affect the future of our nation like no other law has. And that's what it was. It's unconstitutional to take the Bible or any book out of a classroom, out of the schools, or out of a public building. They had no constitutional grounds to do so. It was just a decision by a few people on the Supreme Court. It certainly was not the will of the majority of the population, was it? It went against the majority. It's supposed to be the other way around, isn't it? But again, they tried to cite certain laws and the Constitution itself, and they tried to cite other cases that had come up over the years, but they still didn't have the evidence. They didn't have the proof and didn't have the justification. It was just 10 short years after that, just a little over 50 years ago, our Supreme Court approved the murder of millions of innocent children. and claim to do it under the Constitution. And the Constitution has nothing to do with these things. Other than the fact that the Constitution does say that we're all created equal, doesn't it not? Now we know, we may physically, yes, we are all created equal, but those of us who are God's elect are not equal with those who are not his elect. But beside that, the Constitution clearly states that everyone who is born in this country has certain inalienable rights. And they killed the citizen before it's born. And that's how they justify it. Now, there are those who would have babies killed after they're born. That's a very popular thing in some places. And some people see nothing wrong with it. Again, during this time, God's people stood silently by. And we can say what we want. And people say, well, we finally got it changed. What took so long? We've had much more conservative people in both houses of Congress as president and on the Supreme Court than we've got now in the past. And it took all this time to get it passed. Why did it get passed this time? Well, I would assume it's because of God's mercy on the innocent. But there could be, we know the way our government operates, there also could be some kind of underlying something there that we may not know about for why they let it happen. We praise God that it has changed. But even now, we see how wickedly people have become since it was made legal over 50 years ago. You've had several generations grown up with it, being taught it in schools, being heard it, hearing it talked about on the news, hearing it talked about every election season. And you have people who, one, they either question, why should we get up so upset about it? It's a woman's right, is it not? No, it's not. It's a separate person living within that woman. Again, God's people stood silently by. You know, there should have been, if by all rights, there should have been a rebellion in this country over that one, by God's people at least. But there wasn't. There was some whining and some complaining about it, and that was about it. People went to the polls and would vote for a person who was against it. Sometimes they won, sometimes they didn't. We've had presidents that ran for office. There's been congressmen that ran for office that made promises to change it. And what'd they do? When they got in office, they didn't do nothing about it. They talked about it, but that was about it. The lack of respect for others is all over the place. People have become so self-centered, they believe that whatever they deem is right, and what you believe does not matter unless you agree with them. That's it. That's the whole argument against the Lord's churches today. People don't want to hear the truth. They want what they think is right. That's why so many won't come to the churches. That's why so many have left the churches, because they've been so indoctrinated with these things, whether it was in public school or out in on the job or in life. One of the things you have to watch for, and I've been an employee at a a large corporation before, and you have all this training you have to go through every year, and you have ethics training. We've had I missed out. I left before they started diversity training, so I didn't get to be a part of that, which I'm glad. But I know someone else who has told me recently about it, and used to, companies had to lawfully respect your religious beliefs, and to a point today they still do, but this diversity thing has come along, outweighs religious beliefs now. If your religious beliefs go against their diversity, you're the one in the wrong, and you can't say anything about it. But they're allowed to say whatever they want about their religion, and that's what it is. It's a religion. Hard, cold facts have been thrown out the window. You know, I still don't understand with what's going on today, and I haven't thought to ask anyone who's in college or in high school, how are they teaching biology now, is my question. How can you teach biology now with what's going on? Because all the laws, the scientific laws that have been brought up over the years have just been thrown out the window. There's if you can be whatever you want to be or whatever you think you are, even though you don't look like that, you know. And how long has the public schools been teaching students that they're animals or that they evolved from animals? That's what it goes back to. Now people are beginning to act like animals. We thought it was bad in the 60s and 70s with the hippies. Look what the hippie generation's given us. Their children and grandchildren. If a person's personal beliefs defies common sense and even the laws of science, then so be it. That's how they look at it. It don't matter. Nothing's for sure anymore. All in the name of rebellion against truth. That's what it is. It's all rebellion against God's truth. Not just truth, but God's truth. I remember when I was in college hearing instructors teaching there are no absolutes on anything. That's been 30 years ago now. No absolutes on anything or in anything. If there's no absolutes, then how do you teach? What do you teach if there's no absolutes? You can't. How do you grade a test if there's no absolutes? My answer could be just as good as the next person's, and it could be totally wrong. But I think it's right, so it's got to be right. That's how they look at it. Everything is open to interpretation. No, it's not. You have, and as far as religion is concerned, we have a set of rules, set of commands. It's called the Bible. That's what we go by. You deviate from that, and you rebel against God. That's what he calls it. This is what happens when there is no God. Look at the nations around the world that claim to not have a God or not to have the God that we have. And you look at the Muslim world. You want to talk about a place with no absolutes and no, or where everything is open to interpretation? Look at the Muslim world. Their beliefs are always changing. They say, well, we trace this back to Muhammad, but yeah, Muhammad was a pretty wicked guy, but they've gotten off way off from what he was. There are things they do that now that he hadn't thought about yet. or if he had, he didn't write them down. The Jews were the same way in Jesus' day, weren't they? There was no absolutes. They changed the law to suit themselves. That's what we're seeing today, and not just in the religious world, but in our nation. People change the laws to suit themselves. This train of thought has been taught in schools for several generations now. And this doctrine of no absolutes is the most ignorant and godless doctrine to ever come along. And to think people who are highly educated actually believe this garbage. People who should know better, who have been taught better, even though they teach there are no absolutes, you can't sit through a class and not see that there are absolutes. Whether it's in science or math or history, whatever gym class, there's absolutes. You want to learn to play ball? You got to follow the rules, don't you? And yes, even some of God's people have come to follow this doctrine of devils or some aspect of it. God's people are following some of these things. I often hear people praying for a revival in our land. And that's becoming more and more today, I think, from God's people anyway. But are we willing to follow what God says? What did God say? Well, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a prime example of what he said to his people Israel. And he said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." First, it has to start with his people, not with the rest of the world. Don't worry about what the rest of the world is doing or what they think. You want to see revival in our land? It starts in the house of God. And it starts with his people. Those that are called by his name. What do they got to do? He explains it right here. He just lays it out perfectly. Humble yourselves and pray. And seek my face. Seek the Lord. So many, even so many of God's people, are proud and anything but humble. Even when they come to the house of the Lord, they're that way. Are they seeking the Lord? Oftentimes not. What do we mean by that? Well, where's your faith today? Is it in the things of the Lord? Or is it in the things of the world? Have you got more faith that your government's going to take care of you? Or if you get more faith that the Lord's going to take care of you? And turn from their wicked ways. We've got to turn from our wicked ways. We want to see revival in the land. God's people have to humble themselves and pray and seek him and turn from their wicked ways. Then he says, "I will hear from heaven." And only then. You don't follow this plan, he's not going to hear what you got to say. And he says, and will forgive their sin. Notice he says forgive their sin. Not the world's sin, but his people's sin. And will heal their land, his people's land. It may be only in your community that he does this. Will it be the whole nation? I don't know. He doesn't make that promise. But we know in Israel's day, he was making that promise to them, but they didn't heed the warnings, did they? Just like today, God's people are not heeding the warnings. We know by reading the context of this passage that Israel would grow worse and worse from this point on. There would be short times of them turning back to God, but never totally. And we see how God dealt with Israel. What makes us think God would deal with us any less? As a nation, our nation is not the nation of God. We might have been started as a godly nation or a godly-minded nation based on godly principles, but we're not the same as Israel. And our nation, God's people in this nation, not all of them are in the Lord's churches. Not all of them are going to be in the Lord's bride. That doesn't mean that they're not saved. But it has to start with us. We are a nation built on the principles of God's law. We are a nation whose founding fathers turned to prayer and supplication and to God's word with everything they did to set up a republic like no other in the history of man. Now those very principles are almost non-recognizable by the current generations who are beginning to take up leadership positions in our country. Look at the young leaders in our country. Look at the ones in Congress, especially the young ones. And many of them are just as wicked as anything we've ever seen. And the laws that they propose, the way they vote, shows it. Because we have become a self-centered society in which we are told to go after whatever we want and don't worry what others think or don't worry about whomever gets in our way, we are a nation on the decline morally, socially, and godly. You see that with people, especially in the business world. You see people, you got to go out there and grab what you want, get what you want while you can. I used to interview people for jobs, and it just amazed me at the lies that people would tell just to get ahead. I had coworkers that would do the same thing. They would just to climb the corporate ladder. They would tell, "Oh yeah, I can do that job." And then they'd get in that job and somebody else would have to do it for them. Somebody that was one of their employees would have to do their job for them so that they could keep climbing the ladder. And sometimes they'd take that person with them just so that they had somebody they could trust that could keep things going for them. People go out and get college degrees that have nothing to do with their job. I just always amazed me, people. Some of the degrees people would get, a 2- and 4-year degree in social studies or in, I don't know, basket weaving or something, and want a job in the corporate world, you know, and would get it because they had a 4-year degree. It didn't matter what the company didn't matter that, well, we got a guy over here that's been here 10 or 20 years doing the same job. We can't promote him because he doesn't have a degree. But he's got all the experience you want. They'll take a person who lies about it over a guy that's worked hard to get there. The things of God's word do not fit our narrative, so we forget God and follow the God of self. And the God of self is a little g, not big G. Follow the God of self. Jeremiah, in closing, Jeremiah 5:31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will they do in the end thereof? What are we going to do when this great nation we live in falls, if we're still here? I mean, that's our prayer, I think. I think most of God's people see it coming. And our prayer is that we won't be here. He'll come back for us before that happens, but there's no guarantee. No guarantee of that. If he tarries, what do we do? What do we do when the God of self is no longer good enough to get us by in life? When all our finance, the financial market crashes and things get bad, groceries get so expensive we can't afford them, what are we going to do? Well, the Lord tells us to rely on Him. And so we'll stop there for tonight.